The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
So we're going to have an interview with Mr. Andrew Lawrence, former cricketer. Yeah, former national cricketer. And of course, he is a cricket analyst. So help me welcome Mr. Andrew Lawrence to our program this afternoon. Welcome, Andrew. How are you doing today?
Oh, pretty good, Carrie. Thanks so much. And also, hi to all your listeners out there on 106.5 FM.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining us today. But we want to get into it, you know, because listen, how West Indies cricket looking? Because we got to talk about the future of the West Indies. And from the cricket action in Australia, the strong bowling, the shaky feeling. Now in Barbados, Jaden Seals, a 5-wicket haul, and Shamar Joseph impressed with the new ball, but the hosts dropped 7 catches. Not one, but 7. And I know that broke a lot of hearts in the West Indies. I know it did. Now, we know that the coach, Darren Sammy, said they shot themselves in their foot. Now, I'm just giving a little background to all our listeners who may not have an idea of what's taking place in the cricket realm. Now, let me just give you another update as well. Steve Smith returns and umpiring tensions. Australia's Steve Smith is set to play the second test in Grenada. Umpire Adrian Holstock officiated both Barbados and Grenada despite previous criticism. Sammy was fined and now says he bears no grudges. That's another topic that persons are also talking about. Off-field scandal surfaces. A currently unnamed West Indies player faces serious rape and sexual assault allegations involving multiple women, including a minor. Now, no charges have been filed as yet. And Coach Sammy, he also urged due process and justice. Now, that have been circulating in our dailies. You can check out the sports section and, you know, you'll get up to date on what's happening there. Even like the leadership change in the test matches. Ruston Chase has taken over the test captaincy from Craig Bruffett. He wants to combine flair with discipline. He even looks to build on the emotional win in Brisbane 2024, even if the series is in transition. Now, we even want to talk about new talent, about the Breakout League, 25th of April to the 10th of May. That was amazing. I had the opportunity to... We had the opportunity to broadcast that new Breakout League, and it was amazing. So, let's get into the conversation, Lawrence. Let's talk about the future of West Indies cricket. Firstly, fielding concerns against Australia, Andre. The West Indies dropped 7 catches in Barbados, a critical lapse. What immediate discipline or training changes would you recommend?
Well, hi, Carrie, and thanks again for having me. So, the West Indies is going through a bit of a transition at the moment because they've just hired, or I should say moved or appointed, Darren Sammy as now the red ball coach, or that would be the test match coach,
right?
Because he was the white ball coach with the T20 and the 50 over teams.
Mm-hmm.
So now he's taken over all areas of West Indies cricket, coaching all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also now the chief selector and the lone selector for the West Indies teams as well.
Right.
So if we start off on that foot, I think that is one unfortunate slip up by the West Indies Cricket Board in giving one person all of that responsibility on his back with a dynamic place such as the West Indies, which is a chain of islands, as you know, that where you get a wide range of different skill sets and so on.
Mm.
So I think that his job is a really, really tough one to manage all of that in front of him.
Mm.
And I think that has affected, or that can potentially affect, the way that we perform.
Right.
So, for example, you know, he was abroad in England and Ireland very recently before the test with the ODI team and the T20 team, while the other guys who were, some of the guys on the squad, were in the Caribbean training leading up to the test matches. But he did not probably get that much time to help prepare them in the way that he should or that he could. So catching practice is a critical thing in a test match. A test match is 5 days long. You're in the field for very long hours during the course of a day. and you've got to be spot on, concentrating all day long to of course, perform well.
Right.
The team, yes, they put down 7 chances. So that reflects directly on team preparation.
Mm.
They probably did not have the opportunity to train enough in the catching department.
Right.
And it affected us badly.
And what you're suggesting is that because he has so many responsibilities on his shoulders, you think that it should be split between other persons.
Absolutely.
So that he can focus on one particular thing then, more or less?
Absolutely. I think that's critical with this West Indies team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the responsibilities should be split between white ball and red ball teams,
mm-hmm.
so that the test team in particular can focus on a lot of things with regards to team preparation before a series starts.
No,
that's a major consideration.
Yeah. Now, you made mention to the white ball team and the red ball team. For all non-cricketers like myself and other persons listening,
right.
What is that? What is a red ball team and a white ball team?
Okay, so the white ball teams refer to the limited overs matches, the 50 over matches,
mm-hmm.
and the T20 matches. Okay.
Right.
So those are the shorter version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The red ball teams, they play with leather ball.
Right.
That will be the test matches, and that's played over 5 days.
Right.
So those are the difference. That's simply the difference between red ball and white ball teams.
Mm. Okay. I got you. Let's talk about Ruston Chase. Right. Let's talk about Ruston Chase. You've been critical of recent selections. Do you believe that Chase has the right mix of strategy and temperament for the captaincy?
I think Chase is a very good cricketer. But having said that, he's not been in the West Indies or test team, the red ball team. He's not been playing for the last 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they reappointed him. Now, the last time that he was a test cricketer,
mm-hmm.
he was dropped for, unfortunately, not his performances, just weren't up to mark.
Mm-hmm.
So he was dropped, and he returns as captain, having not played much first-class cricket or much red ball cricket, because he'd been playing a lot of white ball cricket.
Right.
And to bring him back into the fray and to appoint him as captain, once again, I don't think that was the right move.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I think he's a good cricketer, he's going to have to readjust extremely quickly to being able to play well in that environment and have the added responsibility of captaincy on his shoulders.
Right.
Once again, I don't think it was a smart move from the West Indies Cricket Board.
Mm-hmm.
There were other guys who were already in the test team being groomed to be test captain, and
mm-hmm.
he came on Sammy's, recommendation. He bypassed everybody and was slotted into the position.
Oh, right. Understood. Now, let's jump back to the future of cricket West Indies. What would you say is the single biggest structural or administrative change that cricket West Indies must make to improve our global competitiveness over the next 5 to 10 years? What do you see?
Well, first of all, the administration have to get it right with regards to how teams prepare and how they are coached.
Mm.
And as I said, to start our conversation off this afternoon, having one person be a lone selector and a lone head coach for
mm-hmm.
all teams, I think is the wrong move. And that is one of the biggest things they can do to get us back on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
They need to change that so that they can start to put the proper things in place.
Mm.
But having said that, outside of that, our first-class game in the Caribbean, our regional game, has got to improve. You know, we're not focusing very much on improving our regional game. So that means our international cricketers are not getting to play well or train well before getting to international matches.
Right.
If we improve our regional game, we're going to become a lot more competitive on the global stage.
Mm, okay. And when you look at the state of the West Indies cricket, what really gives you hope? Like, what concerns you the most for the future of our sport in the region? Now, you mentioned that, you know, they're not getting enough playtime. Can I say that? Can I say that they're not getting enough playtime?
Yes.
The future of the sport in the region, what recommendations do you make, you know, to ensure or to see that they can get, for the ones who are listening in authority, that they can get enough play time so that they would get, should I say, experience? Can I say that?
Yes. Well, first of all, it has to start from the grassroots stage.
Okay.
What used to be quite vibrant in the region is cricket starting from the primary school age group.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing happening now, particularly right here in Trinidad, is that the primary schools, kids aren't encouraged to play enough, to practice enough, or to have game time enough to learn and enjoy the sport from a very young age. So what's happening is a lot of the cricketers now are picking up the game a little bit later in their junior years.
Right.
And that's going to make it so much harder for a young person to develop quickly, because by the time you reach age 19 or 20, you're right there at an age where you're going to be introduced to the international game. So if they focus on the development of kids through academies, through proper coaching sessions around the region,
yeah,
I think that's going to help improve the international players a lot better, a lot more.
And might I add, maybe exposure as well, because now my daughter, she just sat SEA, she's 12, right? Now, I didn't know she used to play cricket in school. I've never seen her as a cricket person. Now, I used to play cricket when I was going to school. And one day, she came and she told me that she ended up playing the cricket and she bowled 3 wickets. I was like, what? I said, you know how to bowl? She's like, yeah, mommy, I was doing that for a while. I was like, okay. And then they got her on the team. But the unfortunate thing is, when she leaves from standard 5, then she would now have to, when she goes into form 1, hopefully the school that she passes for, you know, it will have a cricket team. So let's say something like exposure. So like these schools that have these cricket teams, what exposure would they have if we don't have scouts coming in from the West Indies, you know, looking at players to see if they can recruit them and get them into the international sphere or even in the region, right? So I think it's exposure as well, because I don't really hear about scouts from the cricket fraternity going into schools and then having these matches and, you know, saying, but, you know, we could take this player here, they're showing potential, and get them onto the team to practice. What's your thoughts on that? Is that happening?
Well, we have to put that responsibility on the regional boards, meaning in each country, there's a cricket board.
Right.
Okay, so like in Trinidad, there's the Trinidad and Tobago Cricket Board.
Mm-hmm.
And it's incumbent upon them to create the right environment for development.
Okay.
So they are the ones that are charged with the responsibility to have the proper coaching programs in place, to have the proper match structure and league structure in place, so that kids can get the exposure that they need. I don't think, in my view, it's not happening as best as it should.
As it should, you know? Right.
Yeah. Scouts don't come in to see if kids are good enough to start exposing them to international play. That's not necessarily how it works.
Oh, okay.
As I said again, it's incumbent upon the local board for their internal programs to show up these kids. Because if you have the right programs going on, the coaching programs, and then you have competition, competition will expose the best ones will rise to the top, and you'll start to see their performances being you'll see it in things like the papers and so on. You'll see them performing best for their schools, and that's where you start to identify that there's talent in different schools.
Right.
And the cricket board should have their scouts go to the schools and have a look at these cricketers while they're playing their matches, so that you can identify the right talent to move them forward into national training programs and so on.
Right.
A lot of that, unfortunately, is not happening. And those are some areas for improvement, surely.
Nice. So let's talk about the introduction of the Breakout League. Do you believe that this is a step in the right direction for nurturing future talent? Or are we missing a more grassroots kind of development plan?
Well, we need both. But certainly, the Breakout League, I think, is excellent. A very good idea. And you see, what happens is when you have something like the CPL, which would be our most senior T20 tournament. You have on those teams 4 to 5 international players.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they're taking the place of some of the local talent that maybe could get exposure out there.
Mm-hmm.
In this respect, the breakout league, I think you have to, there's an age limit, which I think is around age 24, 25, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all local or regional talent.
Right.
And that then gives those younger guys opportunity to perform, opportunity to show what they can do. And then gradually, it will certainly give them, the franchise owners in the CPL tournament,
mm-hmm.
Give them an opportunity to recognize these boys and give them an opportunity to play.
Right.
In the regional CPL tournament. So excellent league. I quite enjoyed it. And it is something that they should encourage annually.
Yes, and I agree with you because Freedom 106.5 FM, we broadcasted that breakout league. And I had fun, you know. I told you, I real scream, like, run. All kind of hours in the night, after 10 in the night. So that is an amazing venture, and I appreciate it. I appreciate that. Now, do you believe that the West Indies cricket team can realistically return to the dominance in the test format, or should we now reframe our identity around the shorter formats like the T20 or even the T10?
Yeah, good question. I always believe that the purest form of the game is the best form of the game. So I am an avid fan of Test cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just simply the era I was brought up in. So I much prefer it to say T20 or 50 over cricket, although that has the flair and the excitement. But always, always, we should focus on trying to develop our young cricketers through the longer format, which is the Test format.
Mm-hmm.
Because I believe that when you train young cricketers it takes quite a lot of skill to play a game over 5 days.
Mm.
When you have players good enough to do that, they can transition to the shorter versions of the game, 50 overs and T20 and so on, and be better types of cricketers in those formats. So I think it must be encouraged, continuously encouraged, and we should remain focused on trying to develop young Test cricketers all the time.
Nice. That's amazing. Now, another thing. What role do you think mentorship from past legends should play in shaping the next generation of West Indies players? Should there be like a formal mentorship academy system? Because, I mean, as a legend in cricket, I think that you all should be able to pass on that knowledge instead of holding it and keeping it. You know, let the upcoming cricket players know what to do, how to do it. If they have a challenge with batting or even bowling or something else, fielding, you know, you all would be able to mentor them accordingly. So do you think that they should have like a mentorship academy so that the future generation of cricket players would get that first-hand knowledge from you guys?
Let me give you two clear examples.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time that Australia beat the West Indies in the West Indies in a test series,
right,
quite a number of years back, they implemented a mentorship system then. So they brought to the Caribbean some of their past greats, which would have been persons like Alan Border, etc., just to name one. And they brought them along as key mentors on that tour, and it bore immediate results.
Mm-hmm.
Second example, the West Indies in 1 year won a T20 Men's World Cup, a T20 Women's World Cup,
right,
and the Under-19 World Cup in one calendar year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in that group was Kirtley Ambrose, along with one or two other former cricketers, not as head coaches, but as team mentors. Do you know that right after those competitions, after we won 3 World Cups, Kirtley Ambrose and the others were dismissed, and a new team of coaches were brought in. Since that time, of course, we've not only not won any of the World Cups, we've failed to even qualify for some of those World Cups.
Mm.
That's how far we've dropped.
Right.
So certainly, there's definitely room for mentorship programs in the region.
Mm-hmm.
That is another area that must be improved upon. Sometimes the value of past cricketers is not looked upon as anything that's really necessary. For me, it's more than necessary. It's critical.
It is. Nice. Now, I have someone sent a message to ask you here on WhatsApp, and thank you so much for sending that WhatsApp message, Todd. Carrie V, good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to Mr. Lawrence. Can you please ask him, what is Sammy's winning percentage as a coach for the West Indies?
Wow. Okay, so I don't have those stats in front of me.
Mm.
But in what I can tell you, in recent times, it doesn't look too good. But having to be fair to him, the West Indies team over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and he's been around with the white ball teams over the last 2 years.
White ball, right.
They have risen in ranking over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look deeply, if you look closely at why we may have risen in the ranking, and I'm not saying this to take anything away from Coach Sammy.
Yeah.
But the international events that we would have played then, or I should say the matches against international touring teams,
mm-hmm.
we played against not some of their stronger teams.
Mm-hmm.
We played against some of their developing players in those teams, and we played our strongest teams and did well. We did fairly well. Mm-hmm. However, whenever we entered ICC competitions, which we were soundly beaten when put up against some of those teams' best players. So while some persons might say he's done all right, when you look deep and closer into it, like what I do for a living, but certainly as an analyst,
yes,
I can tell you that we have not really grown at all.
Mm.
So on the outside, it might look that Sammy has done fairly well. In my books, not necessarily so.
Yeah. So, Andre, how can we better retain our top young players, especially when international franchise leagues are offering more lucrative contracts than CWI?
Yeah, so that's where development comes into play. You mm-hmm. constantly have to continue developing young players and exposing them to international play. Because you can't stop a guy who wants to go apply his trade in the franchise leagues around the world
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily play for the West Indies cricket. Now, all nations suffer from this. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Franchise cricket has really revolutionized players, the careers of players.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are quite lucrative, and they hold more guarantees than, say, being selected for a West Indies team, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
They will certainly get the option to play in those leagues more often. They're guaranteed better pay. And for some guys, It may not be a case of, look, I'm from the West Indies, so I must represent the West Indies.
Right.
There are more options now, and guys choose those options. And I can't say that I blame them. If that's your pathway, that's your pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, that's where development, the conversation around development, becomes even more critical.
Right.
That means you have to continue producing young players. That's why it's important to continue with the development programs from grassroots stage, to encourage more kids to play, to encourage the youngsters to get better.
Right.
And that will help certainly in continuing to grow the West Indies cricket brand, while others may not simply choose that road any longer.
Yes. Now, as you mentioned that, in your view, how effective is the current scouting and talent identification system in the Caribbean, especially for islands outside of traditional powerhouses like Jamaica, even Trinidad and Barbados? How effective do you think the current scouting system is?
They've implemented a new system where the national coaches for each island
mm-hmm.
are now apparently part of the process. Also, they've asked former cricketers to be scouts for a particular country.
Right.
So I know of a number of past test cricketers and international cricketers in various regions, in various parts of the region. They have been hired by the West Indies Cricket Board to act as scouts to try to identify good young talent.
Mm-hmm.
And as well, they've been using the national coaches as part of the conversation before they pick West Indies teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's relatively a new process, And it's left to be seen if it will certainly help things.
Oh, in time to come. But we look forward to that, you know, yep. because scouting is a very important aspect of the development and the future of Cricket West Indies. So, guys, good afternoon. If you're not joining us, I am here with Andrew Lawrence, and we are talking about the future of West Indies cricket. Thank you so much for keeping it locked. Andre, another question. With issues of discipline, fitness, and even off-field behavior still affecting player reputations, what reforms or support systems do you believe are urgently needed?
Okay, so if you notice with international, some of the better international teams,
mm-hmm.
you would, okay, in the past, it used to be a traveling squad of maybe 13 to 15 players, a head coach and a physiotherapist,
mm-hmm.
something like that. If you notice now with the better international teams, you're probably seeing a squad of maybe 20 to 26 persons.
Mm-hmm.
In those squads, you have not just a physiotherapist, they're bowling, they're batting coaches, they're fielding coaches, they're physiotherapists, they're psychologists that work with the players and help them while they're away from home.
Mm.
So certainly that sort of thing helps players cope with the pressures of international play because there are many.
Mm-hmm.
And they help them cope with life and different things like that. So that support structure is critical.
Right.
Also, the development of younger players now in academies and also in national youth programs must include psychological help and training the youngsters about different types of life skills. Mm. That is missing in Caribbean territories, and kids are growing up without that support. I mean, you have to understand certain issues in life. Times are tough. Sometimes you have both parents working long hours
mm-hmm.
and not paying full attention to their child's development.
Yeah.
But their child might have ability. So they may come from an environment where certain behaviors and life skills are not taught.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're thrown into the international scene and don't know how to cope.
Mm.
So coming through the training programs, it must be holistic in approach, where they're learning not just about the sport, and certainly they need the support, again, when they become international players while on tour.
Right. Oh, that is amazing. That is amazing. So, last question, because we're just about 10 minutes away from the top, and as we close this interview, Andre, finally, if you were given full control of the West Indies cricket for one year, what would be your top three priorities to lay the groundwork for long-term succession?
I would pour significant amount of resources into grassroots cricket and the mm-hmm. development of players under the age of 19. That's one. Secondly, a heavy focus would be on girls or women's cricket.
Mm-hmm.
I think the girls' game or the women's game is fast growing around the world. It's probably growing much faster than the men's game. And therefore, there are a lot of girls out there that want to play the sport and can do well. They have many opportunities now internationally. I would certainly focus on growing and developing and improving women's or girls' cricket. Mm-hmm. That would be priority number two. Priority number three, again, I'd say revert to the older structure of team selection and coaching. You know, for me, one coach in the Caribbean, especially a guy that does not necessarily have lots of coaching qualifications, you can't have that person coaching all three teams and with the schedule that he has. Change that.
Mm-hmm.
Get that back. Get some support for the all three teams that we have, and those would be my priority items if I was given cricket to run in the next year.
In the next year, and that's amazing, because with that vision, we need continuity. And that is what I think, and it's just me. I feel that we don't have that, especially when it comes to West Indies cricket. And I love the fact that, you know, we're thinking about the youths, and it should be heavily focused on, because we have a lot of natural talent out there, you know. A
you
lot
know,
of,
Carrie, let me just cross you, but we do it the other way around, you know. We spend no money on development, but pump heavy money into the international team to try to make them better or to help them win.
Mm-hmm.
But how do they become good enough to win? They need to be properly developed. So the focus should not necessarily be heavily on the senior teams. It should be the other way around. It should be heavy focus on producing quality players to get them to international level.
Mm-hmm.
Where we operate a little.
Hello, Andre? Andre, are you hearing me?
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'm hearing you.
You stuck there for a while.
Sorry about that.
You said we have it the other way around. We focus on...
We have it reversed.
Yeah.
Yes, as I was saying, you know, I think it should be definitely the other way around. Heavy focus on development. And of course, where we pour resources into our senior team, we focus on giving them the right support for them to be extremely competitive.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, for me, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
And that has got to change.
Yeah. And I do hope that in time this changes, because as I mentioned before, we have been seeing, even in my community, I born and grew in Maloney Gardens, and downstairs in the car park is heavy cricket going on. No. And the way how these kids, and I will call them kids because they are younger than me, the way how they position themselves, they have it, you know. They just need that same mentoring and coaching to get them there, you know. They have the skill. They have the skill.
I refer to it in just two words with regards to sport, and it belongs to cricket, football, and all sports in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
The kids need access and they need structure. Okay, those things are heavily missing in regional sports at the junior level.
Yeah.
Kids need access to the sport because there are a lot of underserved communities where they don't even get the opportunity to play.
Mm.
And then they need structured programs to help them develop properly. Carrie, listen, there's so much natural athleticism around the Caribbean. It's unbelievable. Mm. Just think about all our international superstars out there. The Usain Bolts, the Atto Boldens, and you could call a number of other sprinters, footballers, cricketers.
Mm-hmm.
We're blessed with natural talent. But it can be so, so much better if kids get the right access to sport and the right structure to develop properly.
Of course. Well, Andre, I want to thank you for joining us today. Thanks so much for your time and your insight. We see that your passion for West Indies cricket is clear, and your thoughts on its future give us plenty to reflect on, you know. We appreciate you joining us today, and I hope that another time we can have another discussion about West Indies cricket. So thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Always ready to chat with 106.5.
Nice.
Have a great day.
Thanks so much. You be safe on the road too.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.